Is it coming through now, Graham?
Yes.
Thank you. So I have to repeat everything I've said thus far?
No.
It's a very unsettling one. Lots of ups and downs, lots of emotions. Oh, what's going to happen? It's a big suspense movie. But at the end of the day, you know, when everything is done, and when you finally get a God's call to a church, the first question that comes to mind after giving thanks to God is, what is going to be my first sermon? Yeah, all admin stuff, all everything else just goes, and that naturally happens. And I had two things on my mind that I thought I must say on my very first Sunday. And when I was thinking about those two things, the only title I can think, it's not a title for my sermon though, the only title I could think of this, for those two things, was Disappointing Sunday. You would say, that is really strange, very first Sunday, Disappointing Sunday. And there's a reason for that. Because if you're here this morning to see the new minister, I'm sorry, you're not going to get him. If you have a long list of things, oh, how the minister should be, if you will have it on your phone, you can delete it. If you have it on your paper, you can throw it in a bin. Yes, I am the new minister, but I am not here to be the minister who always is there on the stage and who is here just for fulfilling spiritual duties. I will do that. Otherwise, why am I here? But most importantly, my dear church family, I am here to be a part of your life journey. We as a family, that was one of the things that we said, that if God is taking us to any church, we want to become part of each and every person's life journey. And that is why we are here. And therefore, if I'm expecting the minister, sorry for the disappointment. The second thing is partly also my sermon this morning. As you might be aware that, or as the church practice is, with the new term, we start a new sermon series. And we are going to start a new sermon series from today, which will continue till the end of November. And the larger topic for that sermon series is One Body, One Mission. One mind, one mission? One, yeah, something like that, see? One body, one mission. Okay, one body, one mission. And in all this, we are going to understand, or we are going to try to answer the question, what is a church? And each sermon that I would be sharing, not every Sunday, okay? So you're going to have a variety. I'm a lazy minister. I love my cup of tea and I love a corner chair in the church. On Sunday mornings, not during the week. But every Sunday when I'm preaching, we would be trying to understand a bit more of what is a church. And Oli, can I please request you to put that slide? Yes. It looks like a highly secretive document where you cannot see other things. But then other parts would be revealed. And this morning, we are going to just talk about everyone is involved in serving God and building each other up. Thank you for that, Oli. Just leave it there. That's fine. You know, it has been observed in many churches that when the minister goes, there are lots of people who step up saying, oh, now we can do this. We can help with this bit. We would really love to do this because we do understand that there's a need for this. And as soon as another minister comes, people think, ah, my work is done. See, we did this, and it was really lovely to be a part of what God wanted us to do, and then we are done with. Now we can relax because there is a new minister now. And therefore, I said, I'm here to disappoint you because that is not going to happen. If you're thinking, okay, Sat is here. By the way, I only tell Sat to those whom I love, okay? Otherwise, my name is Satyajit. That is not going to happen. And that should not happen. If my arrival in this church family makes you stop serving the Lord, my arrival is not for the right purpose. You know, what is a church? Church is not about one man. Church is not about one person. Church is not about few people, those who are on the leadership team. Church is not about only those who are actively involved in church ministries or various aspects of the church. Church is about each and every person who is part of the church family. You know, Paul, in his writing, uses the image of body, which we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this morning, we are going to focus on that passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting from verse 12 to verse, let's see, till where we go. But definitely till verse 26. Sorry, I don't have a practice of putting my biblical references on the screen. I love the whole ancient printed text a lot more, though I use other stuff. Anyway, what Paul was doing here, he was bringing something, or he was sharing an idea that was very familiar to those people who were reading that letter. And yet, he was presenting an idea which was completely in contrast to what they knew. Now, when Paul is using the idea of body to represent a group of people, that was a very common analogy to be used in that time. One of the greatest examples of this, or one of the very regular feature that people would see, oh, we are the body, would be when they are referring to a nation, where king would become the head of the body, and all other people would become then part of that body. But Paul, what Paul was doing here, because the whole imagery of body was used to define, okay, if you're a hand, that's your purpose, stay there. If you're a leg or if you're a feet, stay there, you do that purpose. So Paul, the whole idea was, you are where you are, and that's the hierarchy, and that's where you should continue to fulfill your work, because you are meant to do it. And then there was the hierarchy in the body, that is important. Head is the most important thing, and other aspects, and do that and do this. But what Paul was doing was he's trying to communicate that, wait, yes, we all are body of Christ. We all play important role in it. But he begins with making this truth very, very clear that we all are equal. If you see 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting from verse 1 to verse 11, he's talking about spiritual gifts. And he's talking about, yes, every one of us has different gifts, and he's talking about that. And again, he comes back to it in this passage. But starting from verse 12, he wants to bring this analogy of body to communicate that we all work together for one specific purpose. But I like somehow how Paul, or even John, oh, by the way, John is my favorite biblical character, okay? John from the New Testament. We can talk about him a lot. How Paul or John brings in suddenly a few verses here and there to also include, highlight. You know, it's like, okay, do this. Oh, but wait, I have something else to tell. And that's where I think the verse 13 as an insertion comes into the play. He's talking about, he's introduced the image of body, but he says, but wait. Verse 13 says, some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, and some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, we can talk about gifts, we can talk about different responsibilities in the church, different roles that we play. But let's talk about the social aspects that we define ourselves with and say, oh, I am important because I do this. Naturally, for back then, if you're a Jew, you had a certain standing because you are a Jew. But if you're a Gentile, then no, I'm a Jew. Just stand there. 2 meters distance. So they had COVID restrictions back then. 2 meters distance. But Paul is saying, no, that is not the right thing to happen in when we are part of God's body. Because we all have received the same Spirit. It doesn't matter if you're standing here or you're out there taking care of children. We have received the same Spirit. And therefore, when we are part of God's body, we are one and equal. And with that idea, because that was counterculture idea that Paul was presenting. That your social status, that your social ranking, that your who you are doesn't define what you are in God's body, because we all are one, because we all have received the same Spirit. And then he comes back to the analogy of body, and it's a very simple text. You know, sometimes as a preacher, you look at text and say, this is the text I have to preach from. Now, in fact, this is the text I have to preach from, and you think, what am I going to speak? It's a very simple text. It's all very, very clear. Even a child would understand what this text means. But sometimes, it is really important for us to go back to this simple text and just spend some time understanding the truth that we must follow, and yet we tend to say, oh, that's fine. Oh, that's okay. Verse 14, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? Now, the Church of Corinthians was going through this issue of division. You know that verse where Paul says, Apollos planted, I watered, or Apollos... I'm really bad with my own memories, okay? So if I'm quoting a wrong verse, remind me. But then Paul was talking about the teamwork. And he's talking about different spiritual gifts. The only reason he's doing with this, that aspect, and Corinthians was not the exclusive church that was facing divisions among them. Because the social fabric at that time was such that all these issues were very much part of new churches that were growing then. And therefore, Paul was talking about them being together serving the Lord. Paul was telling them, fine, if you don't have this specific spiritual gift, that does not mean that you're any less. You still are very much equal and important part of the church family. And as I said in the beginning, you know, the organized church, now I'm talking about the organized church and church as the family. The organized church, at times as a part of organized church, we tend into hierarchy. We think, oh, this, they do everything. What we do, come Sunday morning, say good morning, sit on a chair, how are you, how was your week, listen here to God's word, and say, oh, have a lovely week. And that's it. But Paul is saying, no, we are the church family. We are the body of God. We are the body of Christ. And we function and work as the family. As I said in the beginning, if you think, oh, now Sat is here, and therefore I should stop doing what I was doing, I am sorry, that's not going to happen, because that's not what we hear from the Bible. We still continue to serve our Lord. We still continue to do what God has asked us to do. We still do what this body of Christ needs. At any time in any church, there are loads of things, loads of places where we have question mark, and we ask the question, who would do that? Oh, no, we cannot think of that person because that person is already doing so many things. Can we ask that person? Can we do that? And church body, the body of Christ, needs people, needs hands, needs eyes, needs legs. Even I would say kidneys and hearts and veins and all that things, those we don't see, to function. And at times we think, oh, if you stand in this place, that's a lovely place to serve God. Because, wow, everybody is looking at you. Trust me, it's not the best place to stand. Because you have to be really careful how you speak, your actions and whatnot. I don't want to be out there somewhere standing at the door and just saying, welcome, welcome, welcome. But nobody looks at me. I don't want to be there in the kitchen making a cup of tea. My dear friends, this is the body of Christ. And we all have different functions to fulfill. And all our functions that we fulfill are equally important. Be it preaching, preparing and pre-preaching a sermon from here, or be it somewhere coming during the week just to make sure everything in this church hall works fine. That is as equally important as preaching a sermon is. You know, one of the things that I really tried hard, and I must blame my grandfather for this, I really tried hard, was to learn guitar. Okay, so I became a minister, and I could never play guitar. And my grandfather, who was a minister himself, always told me, a minister should know how to preach, and ministers should know how to play an instrument. Okay, I was fine with preaching, which in fact has its own interesting story. But learning an instrument, that was a different deal. So I bought a guitar. I'm a left-handed person. So my first excuse was, yeah, I cannot play guitar because it is always made for right-handed. So I bought a left-handed guitar. Okay? I spent few months learning lots of different chords. So if you ask me chords, I can tell you. But music needs rhythm. You know, we have those metronome. Tuck, 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 tuck. I tried to follow that. Didn't work. I tried to follow others who were playing along with me. Didn't work. I tried my level best. And it didn't work. And then I said, okay. I had a guitar. I tried. I'll just take 1p and not go with playing an instrument. So we all have our different roles to play. Don't sit, you know, the second part of this text, you know, where he says, oh, because I'm not this, I don't want to be, sorry. Yeah, because I'm not part of this body, because I'm not hand. Don't get into that circle. Oh, because I cannot preach. Oh, because I'm not really good with kids. Because I cannot really make a good cup of tea. I don't want to do anything in this church. No, God has a specific role for us to play in this body of Christ. There might be some here this morning who might be thinking, but what's mine? I really don't know. You know, the best thing is take a step towards where your interest lies. If you don't know, how can I utilize? Oh, see, I'm good at this, but I really don't know how can that be used in this body of Christ. Come and talk to us. We'll help you. We'll pray with you. We'll see how God can use you in this body of Christ. Secondly, we all are not superhumans. Think of this, everybody sitting here as a superman and a superwoman. It would be lovely, right? We all have our weaknesses. We all have our strengths. And as a body of Christ, We all work with one another. As I said, I'm really bad with music. I cannot still play. I can sing. Don't take that risk listening to me singing. But I can lead the church service. I can somehow preach. But God brings in people to fulfill your weaknesses when you serve the Lord. And that is what we do as the body of Christ. We stand with one another. If someone is really good at spending time with someone, if someone really has a good listening ear, but they're not really that confident praying for someone, and you're not really good at talking to someone, join along. They can start a chatter and they can just go and talk to someone. You stand along, introduce yourself, and then you pray. If someone thinks, okay, I'm really good with all the technical stuff, but I really don't know how to present the ideas, join along. You know, that's what Paul is saying. Stand and support each other in everybody's weaknesses. And my dear church, when we sit here as the body of Christ, we should be willing to serve the Lord in what God has made us, in things that God has made us to do. You know, verse 26 says, if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. And when we reach at that level as a body of Christ, my dear friends, in everything that we do, we would be just glorifying God, because we would be one big God's family. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your wonderful reminder that we are one big God's family. That we are body of Christ. That though each and every one of us has a different function, different role, different responsibilities to fulfill in this body of Christ, Lord, we are equally important because you love us. And that we have received your Spirit, Lord. Lord, we commit ourselves in your hands. And Lord, we pray that you help us to continue to serve you the way we have done thus far. You lead us and guide us, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.